Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning in today to Defining Kinks. It is a podcast where we attempt to define kinks we don't know, or we discuss the kinks that we feel define us. Today, I am sitting here with the very lovely Fields of Lupin from Reddit. Thank you for joining me.
Hello.
Hi.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I was told that if I have to do podcast and have guests, that I could not leave you out of the mix. So,
it was me who told you that, I'm sure, and you couldn't.
Right.
Not allowed. I have to be involved. No.
It's true.
I'm super pumped to be here.
I know, and I am very apologetic that you have to be sober, because when I got to be on yours, I was completely wasted.
It was wonderful.
It was.
But I think probably best we're sober for this one.
Yeah, probably.
I know ours got a bit crazy.
Yeah, it did. It did get a little nuts. So we have had a fun season talking about various kinks. We've talked about a little bit of dirty talk. We've talked about the sexy eroticism of storytelling. And we've even talked a little bit about taboo relationships and all sorts of things. And we've name dropped a few other kinks. But today, me and the lovely Fields, we are going to be talking about voyeurism and its sister kink or brother kink. We're not one to judge. exhibitionism, because we feel they kind of go hand in hand, or at least I do. You can't really talk about one without talking about the other. But really, we could dedicate entire episodes to either. First season, we're just trying to broad stroke it, you know, so. And stroke some broads. No, we're not. No, we're not. I might as well be drunk.
Well, if you're offering.
Yeah, I mean, me, no. In the Fields, no. No, baby, no. It's not that kink today. Okay, so moving on. No. So voyeurism and exhibitionism. Let's just dive right in. To you, Lupin, what of the two, what are the appeals, do you feel, of them, you know, what makes voyeurism and exhibitionism either or appealing, do you feel, in a general sense?
I definitely feel like just being able to see different, how other people look at it, and then being able to show how you look at sex, mm-hmm. It being sex, it's really part of human nature. You want to share your experiences and you want to see how you compare to other people. Mm-hmm. And not so much as a compare as in pitting against or anything like that, mm-hmm. but just, you know, feel validated and, you know, kind of show off sometimes. And I think that's really, really the gist of it, in my opinion.
There's not most people, to my experience, either when you consider either erotic fantasy in literature or pornography, usually voyeurism and exhibition on their own are not, they aren't a comparison art as far as a kink. The point is not to negatively compare yourself or to like one up the other person. Not usually. So I love that you mentioned that, because I don't think that's what these kinks center on. If we branched out possibly into cuckolding and things like that, maybe that would be more in that wheelhouse. And so I really love that you said that. I do love that you said, because for me, definitely the aspect of like seeing that, like getting that validation, and also seeing how others play out sex or, you know, things like that. I think that, you know, because we all know those visceral feelings, I think just about everybody. I feel that sex is very natural. So I feel that observing others and watching them and how they play it out and how they react off one another and being in those very raw, visceral moments, I think that's like what's super appealing to it for me. And like you said, and showing off at the same time. Although I am a Southern belle and I do get pretty shy, so I have not explored exhibition quite so much. So No, I really love that you said that it's not a judgmental comparison sort of watching, but, you know, like almost a joint experience. But I love that you said that it was sharing an experience. I feel that sex is very natural, and we all can relate to the feelings of arousal, of excitement, of wanting to, you know, hook up, for lack of a better term. You know, and whether that's with a long-term partner or a short-term partner or someone we just met, it's there and we can all relate to it. And yeah, I think I'll be completely open in saying that there are a good number of people that, not even in a dirty sense, but when I encounter them publicly, sometimes my mind wanders about what they look like, or, you know, what is their sexual side. You know, everybody's got that. Everybody, I feel everybody has a sexual being within them, or a sexual identity, and they've got their own flavor of how they do things, their own flavor of their voice, their bedroom eyes, their flavor of sex, you know. And so, yeah, people I meet, sometimes when they say something or do something or something, sometimes my mind just goes, I wonder what sex with them would be like, or what they would look like with their partner. And so I think that's my appeal. Like you said, I think that's the appeal of, to me anyways as well, to voyeurism and exhibitionism. I will reveal, though, that I am a shy Southern belle raised in the conservative South, so I have not divvied too much into an exhibitionism, other than vocally, okay, in case you, I mean, I'll, that's a secret. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a secret, you know, other than vocally. So other than that, though, I, you know, I think I feel so silly because, like, with partners in the past, you know, it's been like a, even if it's been something very light and playful, I'm just like, oh, no, we couldn't, you know, we can't, because my Southern conservative self is like, no, you know, and like fans myself, like right now I think I'm blushing a little bit, so just thinking about it, I'm like, we couldn't. So if we, I mean, for those that don't know, and I will give you the honors if you would like, we've kind of already discussed it, so maybe we should have backtracked a little bit. But for those at home who don't know, Lupin, if you could tell me, what are the differences, like what is the defined, like the actual differences defined between being like the kink voyeur and the kink exhibition, like what are the role differences, I guess?
Sure. Well, in the general sense, exhibitionism is, you know, for all intents and purposes, showing off, being watched, putting yourself out there, even if you're not in actuality being watched, just the, or, you know, watched or listened to even, if it's in the vocal track. but just the fact that you're putting yourself out there, maybe going somewhere daring, maybe doing something loudly, you know, just that aspect of putting yourself out there can be very exciting. And then for voyeurism, it's the opposite. It's someone listening or watching. You know, if you're in a hotel and they have thin walls, the acts of hearing, you know, someone in the other room and maybe not, you know, trying not to pay attention, you know, turning your own TV up, but instead, you know, laying down and listening and maybe getting off on hearing what they're doing, or, you know, seeing someone in a, you know, some, an exhibitionist on a bus or something, you know, in the back seat. What are they doing while you're watching and you're seeing? So there's a lot of different things that can happen there, but just watching and experiencing someone else's sexual pleasure.
Exactly. I think just recently, because I try to bring up discussions about these things before I record the podcast, because I just want to know collectively what general adults think of when they hear these kink names, or when they go to discuss them, or what questions they may have. And so I think very blatantly, you know, I said, you know, think of it as the cam person, or cam girl is commonly used, cam girl versus the watcher. I mean, you've got the person that's definitely the shower and the person that's definitely the watcher. There are so many fantasies that delve all the way from complete consent of you're showing off and I'm watching you, we are completely aware of each other, all the way to non-consent, where consensual non-consent, as in past episodes we've discussed, and I'm sure you agree that consent is always numero uno when it comes to sex between adults, in my opinion. And a lot of wildly, I think every guest on my show has collectively agreed that consent is rule number one. But in consensual non-consent fantasies, you know, there have been, the fantasy could be that you don't know when you're being watched. One writer who is prominent on Reddit, the username Late Stage Infernalism, is a good friend of mine. He actually mentioned, and I'll actually will directly quote him, that he said, when I asked him, is exhibition voyeurism creepy? When is it sexier or when is it creepier? And he said, directly quoted, it's only creepy if there's no consent. In that case, I would consider it a violation. Non-con can be fine in fantasies. I like the idea of people who have an open but unknown voyeuristic relationship, as in the people having sex know that someone might be watching at any time but have no idea exactly when or what might be happening, and maybe all of them get together and watch the secret videos later. I know, right? He mentioned that, and I was like, oh my, that's just, you know, like,
well, I think that just plays into a lot of, it's just the idea of it, putting yourself out there, even if no one is watching, you know, or listening or what have you, just the thrill of knowing that you're doing it, which is so, you know, taboo, which is so against those Southern conservative nature, right? It's just so different and so brazen. You know, so I think that just really adds a thrill to it, even if nothing comes of it. You know, even if you're just role playing it. You know, you're in your bedroom, but you're pretending you're out in public or at a hotel or something. It just really adds to it.
I think so. Yeah, I think it. Yeah, I can definitely. Yeah, it just is. It's the thrill of, you know, you never know. I think a lot of fantasies, I think especially in the audio community, probably the biggest, or that I've noticed, you may think, if you could think of a different one, let me know. But I think the biggest voyeurism, exhibitionism, jam, like kind of flavor of audio I've seen is Hold the Moan. Where the point of the actor or actress is, you know, either they are encouraging the listener, you know, to not be overheard, you know, and stuff like that. Or the voice themselves has opened up a fantasy of we can't be heard, you know, and I think that's a really popular one. There are some counter audios in which the voices will get a little voracious and they will actually encourage you to be loud. And I know that something that's popular is when the voice leans in close and is talking to you and it's like, what are you being quiet for? I want you to be loud for me. And, you know, and for some people that really drives them wild, you know, I want you to be caught, you know, and stuff. Yeah. I want them to see, you know. So, yeah.
See what it can you be really like, are.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So horrible. You're not a Southern Belle at all. You're kind of right into the show. So funny. No, yeah. Oh, so great. I think, you know, I think the thing, like I said, the thing about these, these kinks are is that they go so hand in hand because, you know, usually if you have one side, you have the other side. Usually it's not always. I like how you said an exhibition, you don't always know, you know, and sometimes it's not even about for sure knowing. I know that public sex and risky outdoor sex and sex in public is a kink, and sometimes they don't want to get caught, but sometimes exhibition will definitely play into that, like the risk of being seen is really something that intensifies it, I guess, brings it up another level. So for sure. Okay, so What, since we've talked kind of about all the appealing things, what are some stigmas, do you think, or some stereotypes, or maybe what could be some negative lights put on this kink that maybe people may be worried about being judged about, or that just in a sense they could be negative in general? I don't know if I think
there's, you know, one thing that people could really be feel they could be judged about, and one thing that they could be judged about, which isn't what you want to hear, but I think really you got to keep the idea of consent. It's not just between, you know, the two people, or, you know, three people, or however many people are involved in your sexual escapade, mm-hmm. in this case. It's not just your consent, but if you're going into exhibitionism, it's the consent of, you know, whoever may come upon you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're, I think that's something that's really big with exhibitionism, is people say, you know, those naysayers say, well, hey, you know, you can't just go out in a park where anyone could come upon you. You're violating that person. And that's 100%, you know, true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure that you are doing it in a safe and consensual way, where if someone is going to come upon you, you know, they're not going to be, you know, made uncomfortable or know what's going on. You know, even if they don't know what's going on, it's still, you know, technically not right. The kink of it, you know, of course, is right, you know, right? It's a really gray area, because, I mean, you think of how people go with, you know, wearing toys in their panties now. You know, that's so big with mm-hmm. innovations of sex toys. You know, they're walking around. But is that, you know, you're in a state of, you know, half bliss all day. You know, are the people around you, like, if they knew, would they be happy? You know, that's kind of a gray line, even there.
And it's a blurry one. Because a big part of, especially if the, I love how you brought up the panty and the toy thing, you know, in, mm-hmm. especially nowadays, there's so much technology. I know that the hands-free Bluetooth toys mm-hmm. between partners, either LDR, a long distance relationship, or right there across from the table, having the, you know, the buttons at their, you know, the buttons, the button at their fingertips, basically, to control your pleasure, you know, can be very heart racing and exciting. And usually it's, people get so caught up in their bubble mm-hmm. of that moment that they do forget, what if someone does overhear? What if someone does realize? And, you know, pornography leads us to assume that an audience member is going to be into it, because, I mean, in the pornography world, when you watch pornography, usually you can go on click trails that are going to lead you places you don't want to go, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody, all genders, everything, completely non-binary, everything. You're going to click places. Sometimes they're going to leave you places you didn't want to go. But collectively, usually, where you click, you want it to go. So the jam of most pornography audios, and also, you know, books, literary, and video, the it's always going to be consensual in the long run. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, you know, it was always part of the scene. So in most exhibition voyeurism, if somebody comes across them, then they are aroused by it. And they enjoy it. Rarely do you see the person come in and be offended, be uncomfortable, be upset, be traumatized. You're never going to see that side, because then it would make it unappealing, usually. And so I love that you bring that up.
It's one of those things where you know, it's amazing in fantasy, but once you start to, you know, pick apart the scenes, you kind of see some mm-hmm. things that make it a little mm-hmm. uncomfortable. So you just have to keep in mind where you're practicing your kinks and mm-hmm. Who may be involved, because even if you're not thinking you're involving them, you may be. So
you never know. You never know.
You know, that's always something to keep in mind.
Yeah. And we're definitely not shaming, and we're not saying don't mm-hmm. do the kink. But just like every kink, and like we've talked about in previous episodes, kink responsibly. It's something also about consent to keep in mind. is I know that as we have, as a society, become more sexually progressive, we still have a long way to go. That's one reason I started this show. We still have a long way to go. But there, we have now things, actual, like, you know, like there's FetLife, and then there are Munches, you know, which, for those that don't know what a Munch is, and I'm sorry if I'm going to say it wrong, please correct me. I'm always happy to be corrected. But okay, that sounded okay, especially since we're talking about a Munch. For me, that I know, is a Munch is a get together type setting for those that are in the BDSM communities of sorts. You know, it is like a get together, you know, and stuff. And so those, and all these things are done usually in public, or they're done, they're hosted at someone's home. Or they're actually play spaces, or some places call them dungeons. I've got a couple of friends that run a dungeon in Florida. Wonderful, very artistic Rigger and Rope Bunny pair duo, and they run a, you know, but I'm saying it's all out in the public, you know. So we're very progressive that way nowadays. In the long run, we're not shaming anybody. We're all out there, you know, but the point is that across the board, you need consent. And, oh, I got it. Now I got it. I'm back. There we go. I found it. we have all these play spaces and things like that. And we're so progressive sexually. When it considers consent, and we're so open, you also need to be mindful, that you and your partner have also worked out the consent aspects of your kink. For example, if you're into exhibitionism and you go to a play space, you know, what is the extent? You know, are you allowed? You know, like I say allowed, it's all up to you ultimately. But you should remember that the consent that you give to others to watch you or participate with you, whatever it is, it can affect your partner's comfort level, is what I'm saying. So, you know, always consider the other side if you're doing that. So basically we're saying if it's a solo art, just be mindful of the consent of the general public. And definitely, please, we are not encouraging anybody to be a creepy voyeur. And then if you have partners or other people involved, please be mindful of their level of comfortability. Please don't get overzealous in your kinks, because we've talked about it in previous episodes, but we've basically established that when it comes to practicing kink and sexual relationships, there's kind of like three rules that most of us, you know, is it legal? Is it consensual? And then the third one is it safe? And we've also talked a little bit about how part of being safe is not emotionally, mentally, physically harming people beyond repair. You know, and so comfortability can, you know, play into that some, especially if it's like a long-term practice. So definitely. And so when it comes to voyeur and exhibition, we've talked about that there's a lot of crossover. So just for fun, like, and this is another part of the show, is to show people that a lot of people are kinkier than they think they are. I don't mean to like say it's not in a negative light at all. But I mean, the whole point of the show is that so many kinks and so many people that are sexually open get shamed. And when you think about it, there's sex is so natural, and there's so many things that we're into, and we don't even realize that they fall into a paraphilia or a kink, you know, I guess, category or subheading or whatever, branch. So just off the top of your head, can you think of, like, kinks that would involve voyeurism and exhibitionism without even, you know... You know, I guess I would say sub kinks of voyeur and exhibitionism.
Oh gosh, putting me on the spot here, making me try to think of all the kinks.
Well, really, I just want to throw you under the bus, Miss Vanilla.
Just show me how vanilla I truly am.
I know. What would you say? What do you say? I'm innocent. Oh, wholesome. That's
I am wholesome. I'm very wholesome.
Wholesome, that's what it is.
Oh, gosh. What would fall under it? I mean, obviously, I'm choosing the cop-out answer. But things like doing audio, I mean, you don't think about too much risk for just, you know, just making making noises on a microphone or just even reading erotic poetry or something. But, you know, it's causing reactions in people and it's doing things and you don't know who's listening. It could be, you know, your boss that's listening and, they, you know, they don't know it's you. So, you know, there you go. that's something you might not realize that you're being a little bit exhibitionist.
This is true. You know, and now that it makes me think, you know, sometimes I have been like around people, like not people I know that I'm super familiar with, but sometimes I do run into people and you kind of like hit it off with them and stuff. And then there's that thing where in the one in a million chance, what if they had heard one of my, you know, like, or they know me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know one time I was talking to a guy, we went out on a date. And it was like the second date, you know, and we were like vibing each other and stuff. And then he just, he was talking about something and he goes, have you heard of Reddit? And I just went, like, I guess like the part of me, obviously, that appreciates being anonymous and my privacy, went, like, just went breathless for a second. And then, of course, like my facade on the outside was just like, oh, yeah, I've heard of Reddit, you know. And then in my head, I thought, I wonder. Has he heard me? You know, like, we don't know. I mean, Gone Wild Audio is a very big collect. It's not, it's a very big number of listeners.
It is. And so, it surprises me all the time how big it is, you know, online and out of it. I mean, even I work on the phone a lot for my job, my day job. I'm on the phone a lot and talking with people out of country and things. And I had a conversation with someone where they were, from the moment A of the phone call, they were vibing, like very obviously, inappropriate vibing.
Oh, gosh.
And I was, I had this feeling the entire time, and obviously I have nothing to prove it, but just the way they were being almost inappropriate, I'm like, I think he may have heard me before. And I could not shake it for the rest of the phone call because he was hitting on me so hard.
Yeah, like from, he already had an
from
in.
From Git. Yeah. Right? And I was like, oh my gosh, has he heard me? And then, you know, even, you know, just, I will admit, I am on Reddit on certain alts. Because sometimes you want to step out of the Gone Wild Audio shoes and, you know, take off that hat and do something else. And so I have a variety of alts on Reddit, and some of them, when I'm a little bored, I'll go on, you know, r for some platonic conversation, and I don't want to pop in as Fields of Lupin here, listen to me come 20 times and be like, hey, can we talk about this show? Like, I have an alt for that. But, you know, I had this actually just happened last night, which is why I bring it up, because I was using it to talk to someone just to just have a conversation while I was laying in bed, couldn't sleep. And the person within maybe 30 minutes not only guessed that I was on Gone Wild Audio, but knew who I was.
Wow.
Within 30 minutes. And I was just like text-based? Shocked. It was all text. Oh, there was no voice. You know, I mentioned that I'd recorded, you know, that I did voice acting, but I didn't say any, you know, I didn't say anything about what it was, and I mentioned it, and, but it really just makes you realize, like, oh gosh, like, Gone Wild's a little bigger than you think.
It really is, and I think I've only had one experience where, I've had one experience where I joined, because I, when I started living a little more loudly about my sexuality and I found my sexual voice, as it were, I decided to join FetLife because I wanted to know if there were any communities in my area for exploring kink, you know, safely and with people that were experienced, you know, not just like Tinder hookups and things like that. You know, people that claim to know things, you know, or claim to be whatever. Also, I like the group safe setting, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, or like watching things, watching workshops and things, because a lot of those communities do have things like that, or resources, mm-hmm. Or other people to get hold of. And I just remember joining FetLife, and because I couldn't think of any other alt name, I don't know how people have several alts. I can't even handle my After Dark, which is Ruthie. I joined as Ruthie Wren, and literally, like, one of the first people that friended me, some guy from out in California, which isn't even my state that I'm in, but he friended me, and he's like, hey, you don't happen to be Ruthie Wren on Gone Wild Audio, do you? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I freaked out, you know, like, I was just like, ah, you know, and stuff. And it's crazy how big it is. So yeah, I think there is mm-hmm. there is that amount of excitement, and then there is that amount of risk involved in stuff. So it's like pros and cons, but definitely.
That's another thing regarding even on the audio scale, you know, you don't think about it, but when people record, you know, real stuff, you know, masturbation or things like that, mm-hmm. Out in public. I mean, I know I've done it before. I have recorded something in my car in a parking lot. And mm-hmm. you think, you know, I personally took precautions, and, you know, I acted, you know, in the audio, I was like, oh, someone could be walking by, uh-huh. but they weren't, you know, I knew they weren't going to, because I'm at my place of business. Yeah. I'm personally not going to risk that. But, you know, you think about it, and it's just, you know, even via audio, there's so many ways that you can get into a trap with things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's just so dang exciting.
So. Sometimes it is.
It's very exciting. Hell's bells.
Right? And I'm going to throw this out there, because since mm-hmm. we're talking about it, and on the share thing is, and I know that they don't get a lot of recognition. They're kind of like the quiet voices, you know, of mm-hmm. Gone Wild Audio, but so very important. The writers. Being able to, you know, us performing their scripts is a form of their voyeurism to our exhibition. You know,
that's very true.
They've written yeah. out a scene, you know, and they close their eyes and they can see this world that they invented. And now they've placed, you know, this voice and this envisionment in that scene, you know, where there wasn't somebody. And, you know, it's just it's a really humbling experience to be able to be that fantasy for them. Mm-hmm. You know, because I know that it's, like I said, I feel, you know, but I just realized that as you were talking about the excitement and stuff like that. I mean, they, in a sense, have this voyeurism kink, and, you know, we're playing their exhibition in their scene. You know, and I love it. Such talent, such amazing scenes that they have played mm-hmm. out for us and written, and so I'm humbled by that, and it's super exciting, and they get to share collectively voyeuristically with the whole of audiences that listen. So that's really fun. So so I think we kind of covered the cop out answer, Miss Lupin. So you didn't think I'd come back? So.
What?
I mean, I may walk myself in circles, but when I present a question to somebody else, they're not getting out of it. No, I'm just kidding. Could you possibly think of any others just off the top of your head, if you could?
Oh, gosh.
There's so many, to be honest. Like, you kind of just get overwhelmed.
Right? And then you don't really think outside of your, you know, what you enjoy. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I'm like, what do I like? What can I go under it?
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. So under... something that could include it. Gosh, I am totally pulling a blank. Mutual masturbation.
Okay.
Could be considered it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watching your loved one, or, you know, or just the person you're with that night, watching them please themselves. And, mm-hmm. You know, that's definitely a form of, you know, you could be imagining what you're, you know, what they do when you're away, what they do when they think of you, what you do when you think of them. And so mm-hmm. that's definitely kind of one that's both exhibitionism and voyeurism kind of merged together when you're doing something like that.
Nice.
I know that's personally something I'm extremely fond of. So, you know, it really merges everything, and it's just a very intimate act.
Yeah, exactly. No, definitely. I think one of my favorite pieces, because I do have some saves, because I love people that actually do the GIF clips of different pornography scenes. Because visual pornography for me it's a light stimulant. I prefer reading personally. I know it's crazy coming from a voice. Well, I guess maybe not. I enjoy reading the scripts. I think that's why I'm so appealed to script filling, because I love reading erotica. So that's probably the thing that excites me most. So visually, pornography, I felt that I'm always a girl that compares myself to other women. And so sometimes pornography in that sense is unappealing to me because I get inside my head about things that I really shouldn't even worry about, to be honest. But one of my favorite pieces is a couple that's standing across from each other, leaning on opposite counters in a kitchen. And they're both masturbating, but they're watching each other. And it's clothed. General, you know, they're pretty much clothed, but definitely she's lifted her sundress and he has his hands in his pants, you know. And I mean, but it's very, very hot because you can tell just the body language. It's very long-term relationship, very sensual scene between the two of them. So definitely I can see that appeal in what you're saying, and that it is a form of voyeurism and exhibition, but it, you know, the mutual masturbation, definitely. Me, as far as ones that I think of, well, Ruthie jumps straight to the dirty side. The first thing I considered was things like glory holes, things like
that. Oh, yeah.
And then gangbangs and stuff like that. Like, I mean, a lot of it, especially in gangbangs and glory holes. I guess glory hole, although it is voyeurism and exhibitionism, at the same time, it's got that huge thing about anonymity, so
yes,
it sidesteps the umbrella a little bit, but I still feel that it falls under there.
Yeah,
so
it's still, and definitely group settings can be you know, you're watching, you know, just for ease of talk, I'll use a multiple men with a woman scenario, but you know, the men are watching other men while they're you know, using the woman or pleasuring the woman, and you know, the girl is getting watched, and you know, it's just, it definitely fills both purviews.
Oh yeah, definitely. I know that one of things that really appeals to me, and I know you talked about it in the very beginning of the episode, is that it's appealing to watch people in those natural acts and how they do and everything. And so it's, you know, in case nobody knew, one of my very top kinks is breeding.
No.
And, you know, so in case no one knew that, there you go. That's the secret for the episode. I cannot help but get excited when I'm watching or listening or visually in, you know, in anything and stuff. If there's breeding going on and stuff, I love that. I guess there is this primal side of me that awakens that's like, oh yeah, you breed her so good, you know. Or if it's or if it's from the female perspective where she's the more aggressor, I'm like, you get that seed, girl, you get that seed, you know. It's like I can relate to, you know. So I definitely can see, like, you know, you can get pulled up into it. So
of course,
We've talked a lot about, well, we've talked about so much about the kinks, voyeurism and exhibitionism, and we've kind of had our own little share moment and everything like that. But so I guess, you know, people may ask, you know, well, if they're not sold on it yet, or why they should be interested, or why they should not be judgmental on it. We're trying to figure out what other ways, why should they give it a chance? Why is it exciting? We had one writer write in, V. Prick of Reddit. He is a writer, a relatively new one. And he wrote in when I asked him the question, and he said, if watching porn of people having sex is hot, then watching it in person would logically be even hotter, in his opinion. And I had to say, like, and obviously, this is all consuming. This is all assuming consent, mm-hmm. You know, which I know him. He's a good friend. So I know that this is consensual. But he does raise a point. I think sometimes that, you know, in person definitely pulls you more into it. You know, of course. What I'm saying? Like, yeah. You know, it's just definitely, I know that we have the audios and we may not know every listener personally, but the quiet zone that we create inside their headphones, it's just us and them. That pulls them in. You know what I'm saying? So that mm-hmm. is, it's bringing that personableness to it. And so I think any level of sex or arousal that you can experience personally on your own level internally is going to be sexier, I feel.
I definitely agree.
So, yeah, completely. Yeah, so if you had to say, though, other than that, any other reason why maybe, you know, people should give the kink another look, or if their partners are into it, maybe consider it. Why should they give it a chance?
I think because at our core, humans are all curious. We all have, you know, some form. Maybe we hide it away with, you know, conservatism or shyness or things like that. But we all are curious. And it's just a way to see if your experiences are, you know, shared with others and see how other people treat something that's so special to you. Mm-hmm. And so I just think it's a really good thing to experience. You may not enjoy it. You may, you know, not have the headspace for it, but, I definitely think letting go a little, or, you know, and being maybe a little, provocateur and, and a little exhibitionist might be fun, but also just, you know, kind of easing in and seeing how, you know, maybe when you hear the neighbor having sex and, you know, going at it, and maybe don't turn up your radio. Yeah. Maybe just listen. You know, just take a listen.
Just be there for a minute. Yeah, be there for a minute, you know. So if they're, you know, if you feel like you can throw pointers in, maybe you can, you know, give them a shout, you know.
Knock three times for yes.
Yeah, right? Right. She said this. Do it this way. You know. Oh, interesting. I would die. I'm the kind of neighbor that, like, takes over, like, welcome to the neighborhood, cookies. So they definitely don't want to hear me yelling at them when they're going at it.
You oh, fucked her good, cookies.
Fuck, I love those cookies. yeah, no, definitely. Like, I love it is. Everybody's curious. And like I said, we all have these feelings. Everybody can, just about everyone, you know. And I know that some people, I've talked about it in previous episodes, mm-hmm. That some people are, identify as asexual or mm. ace, and totally fine. There are people of all different kinds, you know, but I think for the most part, a lot of people on a regular basis experience arousal, excitement. I've got a list of 547 things that are paraphilias, which are things that elicit a physical response in you leaning towards arousal or excitement. So I know that if there's a list of 547, it's a pretty common feeling usually. Yeah, definitely people are curious, and people, sex is a very natural thing. And so experiencing it together, you know, or experience it from the outside for somebody else can definitely change your opinions. Sometimes it can change your opinions on the way you see your own sex. I know that's definitely something. I know that with a previous partner, mutual masturbation definitely changed some of my opinions about my own body for a positive effect. you know, just because it did. I have also heard, we didn't talk about this one earlier, and I can't believe I missed it, because it is one of my favorite. It's one of those kinks that I forget about, but then when somebody brings it up, I'm like, yes. And it is mirror sex, like having sex in front of them. Yeah, see, you know, like it's one of those ones you're like, you don't think about it. And then when somebody talks about it, you know, that's a whole different vibe.
Definitely. You're seeing yourself and
voyeurism
through another.
You're seeing yourself. You're,
yeah, area.
Yeah, you're seeing yourself. You're seeing your partner take you, or you take them, or whatever the action is that you guys are doing. But you know, it's so visceral and it's so raw to see how your partner makes you respond. And that is definitely my next question for you, was if you're thinking about it or you're considering it, where is somewhere you could start? I would definitely say mirrors is a big, you know, it is a safe, if it's a solo thing, it is very private. You know, it's very private. If it's you and a couple, you know, watching each other with each other can be a very good start. You know, it makes sight you in ways you didn't realize.
Definitely.
But you definitely get to see all the things that arouse you about your partner, and the things that they do to you, the way that they touch you, kiss you, excite you, to see it from the outside. I've heard from many people is an enormous rush. So I would definitely encourage that if you're in a couple and you're considering any form of voyeur exhibitionist and you don't know where to start, I would say start with each other.
Yeah, role playing is so effective. You know,
yeah, exactly. And then you can, you know, and then you know, and definitely. So that's where I would say where to start. Do you have maybe any other suggestions maybe where people might start or consider looking into?
I mean, I definitely, you know, role playing is such an effective tool, if even if you're not actually being, you know, wow, it's becoming the end of the night. Can't say words anymore. An exhibitionist. Right?
This is not good for us professionally.
You know, even if you're not being an exhibitionist for real, you know, still playing the part can be kind of one of those just exciting moments. But on top of that, you know, there is such a market, so to say, for audios and porn that are kind of dedicated to, you know, hey, are you listening to this in public? This is what I want to do to you, kind of things, and something like that. And so you know, pop in an audio, listen to someone tell you what they want to do to you, you know, while you're driving to work or something. It's, you know, no one knows what's going on in your car. No one knows what you're listening to, you know, just you. It's something secret and naughty that you can do. And that's, you know, a form right there.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. That's another one. It, like I said, it's very, I mean, unless most headsets will allow you to be quiet, so nobody knows what you're hearing. but it definitely gives you that sense of privacy that you are able to enjoy it, but it's on the download, but it's, you know, and stuff. And yes, there is a whole, just a whole umbrella of that kind of, audio and thing, you know, that plays off that fantasy, and it's definitely a way to start in you know, and everything. Just remember, we talked about that gray area of consent with the public. And then as far as that counterpoints, what not to do, if you're considering starting exploring this, is there any probably maybe don't start here advice that you have for our listeners?
I think we've really talked about it a couple times, but just, you know, make sure you're not going into the park at night and pulling your pants down and, you know, going after yourself. You know, make sure, you know, again, safe, legal. a lot of the legality. Time that's not legal, and, you know, you don't want to traumatize anyone or anything like that. So just keep that in mind. You know, start small, and just make sure you're approaching it from, you know, as exciting as it can be to explore something new, just make sure you're approaching it in a safe and sane way.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think my first thought was we are in the golden age of social media mm-hmm. and technology. So something I would suggest is probably not jumping on being camera ready, mm-hmm. as they say. I know that some people think that like, oh, well, I want to show off, so let me put myself on a camera. I think if anybody knows much about social media, which I think a lot of us know, it seems like the people that seem to be the most popular on social media always seem to be at their best.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right off the bat, that is wonderful editing is what it is. whether they've edited their background, their clothes, there's filters on, you know, there's lighting, all these things. So unless you've had a lot of trial and error, you are never going to get the results they get. And we all know that the internet is full of trolls. So don't invite the trolls in to ruin your experience or you trying out a new thing. So I would suggest don't jump into the social side of showing off in that sense. Something I want to encourage for partners, those that have partners or partners that they can explore with, another thing that I would suggest not doing is, and I'm sorry, it almost makes me giggle because I have some friends that this kind of was the thing with, and it's like a funny story that we tell. But the husband was kind of into like, he was into like voyeurism, and she's like, okay. And he's just like, maybe we should try it sometime. And she's like, okay, cool. And then one day she caught him watching her just showering. Like he just literally had he was just watching her. Mm-hmm. And like to him, he thought, oh, this is cool. This is us exploring it. And then she like turned around. She's like, what the hell are you doing? You know, like it just like creeped her out that he was just like standing there. And he's like, oh, I'm just watching you. Remember we talked about it? And she's like, I would have liked to know. She was like, I was just taking a normal shower, you know, like because in her head, she was like, I wasn't being sexy, mm-hmm. you know. But in his head, he was like, I'm just watching my wife shower. It's hot as hell, you know. So it's just funny, you know. So, you know, if you're going to do it with your partners especially, like just be on the same page. Watching your spouse or your partner shower is really for most partners they would find it arousing or exciting, you know, especially mm-hmm. you know, maybe they don't know about it but you've just discussed it sometime, you know sometime I'd like to just like secretly watch you, you know, just exciting, you know, and you'll never know when, so maybe it'll be exciting for you, so just shower sexy every time, you know. So that's something I would suggest, you know, just start out small and things like that and stuff, and you know, and I know some couples have started out in the car, you know, because the car is generally your own little zone. I think that's, you know, pick your zones, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, your home, your car, you know, things like that and stuff.
Definitely.
I know people sometimes want to go straight up, like you said, for the park. there are legal issues mm-hmm. at hand, and we are obligated as
despite what porn may show
professionals. we're not legal cops or park rangers, but we will tell you that you will probably get a fine if you're caught dropping trow in the woods. So if you really want to, I guess make sure you definitely don't think you're gonna get caught, but I don't think that would be step one for me. Where do people miss the mark with voyeurism and exhibitionism? I think they just try to run before they can walk. I think this happens with a lot of kinks, and you can probably relate, but I think somebody says, hey, I'm into this kink, mm-hmm. I want to explore it some, and then they jump to like step 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, if you think you can go for it, go for it. But I have heard so many stories about bad experiences, and then after that bad experience they no longer want to visit the kink, and sometimes they even become anti-voices for that kink,
mm-hmm.
or they kink shame others that are very comfortable and have a very healthy sexual lifestyle, you know, living out that kink and enjoying it, you know. And so I think that's part of the issue. Or we've talked about click trails, you know, you may think, oh, I'm into this, and you get on these click trails on the internet and you end up in crazy town, you know. And I only say crazy town because it's not your town, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not shaming anybody, but you find something that is not your vibe, and then it completely turns you off. It, you know, and so all I want is people to have positive sexual experiences and kink exploration, because I feel that healthy sexual relationships are a healthy part of adulthood and a couple style, mm-hmm. or, you know, and stuff. You know, whatever you've established is your sexual identity and vernacular. I feel that it's healthy to just be open, discuss it, and explore it, but do it safely and responsibly. So, yeah, I think you kind of agree with me, but can you think of any other ways people might miss the mark as far as exploring kink or their expectations possibly of this kink?
I think really those are the two biggest ones are just going to be, and, you know, like you've been saying, is, you know, maybe start small, you know, don't, you know, jump before, look before you leap kind of thing. And so I think that's definitely one. And then, you know, not to harp on it, but there are so many little things with consent where you just wouldn't mm-hmm. think about it. You wouldn't think how that could potentially... Yeah. You know, harm your partner, harm yourself, or harm someone else. And so just really, before you do anything, as much fun as spontaneity is, at the beginning, just think through things before you do them, just to avoid any heartache before you start, because I think that's just really something important.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and there are... You know, there are 8 million ways you could live out and try and explore this kink. We have not covered the surface. We've covered some of it. We've covered the outside, you know. Mm-hmm. But there are so many. Like, we've only discussed a few kinks that are tied into these kinks that, you know, that are kind of umbrellaed underneath it. And we've only discussed some ways in which you could do this. I would suggest, and I'm sure that you could echo me here, that, you know, read up on, you know, like we said, you know, experiencing some audios, if visual pornography is your thing, or erotica, like books, novellas, fanfic, you know, or just, you know, things like that. There's a million healthy resources out there to which you could read and, you know, share with your partner, you know, in the safety of, you know, this is just me just researching it a little bit. And when you come across these things, then you can kind of see, you know, what you love most about the kink and what you would like to explore and, you know, things like that. And you can learn the zone system, I guess, a little bit. I haven't really talked about it a whole lot, but basically the zone system is, you know, like we talked about, your home zone. You know, that's probably the safest place to practice kink, because you're pretty much law in your home. And you and your partner have set up a language, a set of rules. If you haven't, you should, when it comes to your sexual relationship or your boundaries, your limits, things like that, your comfortabilities. And then, you know, when you start branching out, you can go other places. But, you know, definitely some places are more privy to these explorations than others. So just be considerate of that, is what I would have to say. Well, I think we've pretty much covered. Is there anything else you could probably say about voyeurism or exhibitionism, dear Lupin, that you don't think we've maybe talked about, that maybe the listeners are curious about, or maybe that we just didn't talk on, that maybe you would want to put out there?
I think we've gone over it pretty well. I mean, I think this is something that has so many facets, but really just have fun, enjoy yourself, be safe, and test your limits.
Exactly. I mean, if you don't know, I always, in my younger days, I used to work at a, work in a store, you know, and stuff. And, I'm not going to say that. Sorry. So in my younger days, I used to deal with a lot of people that love to gamble. And when I did, you know, they would, I probably shouldn't, you know, or I shouldn't this or I shouldn't that and stuff. And I always had this one coworker that say, well, if you don't play, you definitely won't win, you know. And in that sense, if I had to tie it into kinks, you know, if you're even a little bit curious, if you don't try, you definitely aren't going to know.
Yeah.
And sometimes, as the show, the title of the show, Defining Kinks, it's not just about defining kinks to figure out what they are and to answer questions. This is also talking about us that tie our sexual identity into kinks, kinks that literally define us. Mm. So you may find that sexual identity that you've been missing, or that kink that really opens up sex for you. So that's really, you know, if you don't play, you can't win. You just can't.
Yeah.
If you're completely content and happy, we need to take notes from you, honestly. I mean, I have not reached that moment of nirvana yet. There are things that I really enjoy, but this is another reason that I have the show, is because I'm exploring things still in my life. I'm still finding my sexual voice. Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so very much for being on the show with me today.
Of course. I had so much fun.
Good. I'm glad you had fun. I'm just hoping I don't scare people away from kinks, really, is what it is. So, I'm sorry, folks, but dear Fields of Lupin, we'll never do another exhibition or some audio ever. Sorry. I ruined the whole thing for her. But yes, definitely. Thank you so much. Our season is close coming to an end. I'm so sad. But at the same time, I am 100% excited because I have big plans for season 2. I can't wait. Please, please, please give me feedback. Give me info. I have anonymous suggestion boxes galore, PMs, and anything else. I've got it everywhere, because I'd like to know. Second season, I would like to really dive deep into some very specialized kinks and some different things. So if you have some ideas or some questions about sex or kink in general, please hit me up. Otherwise, please keep your ears open for my episodes, and definitely for Miss Fields of Lupin. She has always been up and coming, the girl that the rest of us chase and try to measure up against.
Oh, please.
In the audio community. So keep an ear out for her as well. You can check her out in the comments description. I've got some of her social links. She's just about everywhere. And yeah, thank you again. And don't forget to tune in next week. And yeah, we'll talk about a whole nother set of kinks.
Bye, guys.
Thanks. Bye.